Welcome to Special Education Matters. I'm your host, Michael Bull, and I'm the proud father of an adult son with autism. All right, folks, buckle up because we're diving into the wild world of school assessments. Cue the dramatic music. Okay, maybe not that wild, but if you've ever been a parent facing an IEP meeting, you know it feels like a roller coaster. Well, today we've got Dr. Christy Bach here to break it all down, and trust me, she's the person you want explaining this stuff because we're going to get real nerdy real quick. Assessments, eligibility, private evaluations, oh my. So grab your popcorn and let's get ready to turn the assessment anxiety into confidence, or at least give you enough info to impress your kid's school psychologist. Dr. Christy Bach, welcome to the program. Great to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, we're going to talk about who you are later, but let's get to nerdier stuff in the beginning and talk about assessments. So if I'm maybe a parent that's new to this, I'm freaked out, or maybe the district has already done assessments and things like, what are assessments and how do they impact service?
Man, assessments are the foundation. They are the basic beginnings that everything is based off of. You have to have that assessment piece to be able to figure out where the needs are and what's going on with the students so that you can then kind of create that roadmap with goals and objectives and all of that to be able to support the students. So a lot of people might have had an assessment already in the schools, or they're maybe in private schools, or they've never had an assessment. And that assessment is the foundational piece that guides everything else. So that's what an assessment is.
All right. So how do these guide? I mean, you mentioned a guide, but how does it truly guide what's going to happen? And what is the difference between the assessment I might get from the school, because the district's going to do an assessment, versus a private assessment?
Right. Well, that's a good question. You know, a school district evaluation is looking for one thing. They're looking for eligibility. And they're basically going to say, yes, your child qualifies for special education.
So it's completely binary, right? You're saying?
Yes. Okay. It's looking at one thing. Now, you're going to get some really great information if you have a psychologist that explains well and all of that, which tends to be a problem within our field. But you definitely, you can get a lot of great information from a school district eval, but they're only looking at one thing, eligibility. So when you're looking at a private evaluation, this is really adding in a lot of different other elements because we're not only looking at eligibility. In fact, unless we're doing an IEE, which is an independent educational evaluation, which is when you disagree with a district's evaluation,
And real quick, that's when the district says, no, you're not eligible. That's why I'm wanting an IEE.
If a district says, no, you're not eligible, or if they didn't really assess in areas you felt like they should have, you can request, it's your right as a parent to say, I want an outside opinion, and that you can request at the district's pay. So the district has to pay for it, for them to have an IEE. So then you have an independent third party, like somebody like from my company that would then go in, do the evaluation, and they would look at eligibility. So they're going to look at that. But a private evaluation is going to then look at DSM diagnoses. They're going to look at what's going on with your kid. How does the processing impact the academics that impact the way the child is performing educationally? And what can we do about it? What can we do? What's the roadmap? Mm-hmm. Success. So it really is looking, private evals are looking at more where you, as a parent, what I can do to help support my child and then impart wisdom upon the school. So that's really, and it's usually quite a bit more thorough. You're going to get a lot more information, going to be broken down a little bit differently. So that's kind of the difference between the private and the school district evaluation.
Well, without the private evaluation, how do we determine what services a child's going to need?
Well, in a school district, they're going to look at the psych report that is done by the school district psych, and they're basically going to look at what areas were weak. And let's say they qualified as a student with specific learning disability. Well, they're going to look at, okay, yeah, they struggle in reading, they struggle in writing, math's good, so we're good with math. So then they may say, okay, we need a goal in the area of reading. We need a goal in the area of writing. So they're going to basically look at that psych report and take that information. And because even though you're only looking at eligibility, you still are getting levels. We're still going to know, okay, reading's an area of concern. Writing's an area of concern. So we're still going to know kind of where the weaknesses are. And then they're going to create a goal and they're supposed to create a goal in all areas of need. So if there's an area of need that's demonstrated in the testing, they should be writing a goal. So parents need to make sure of that. If you have an area of need that's stated in the psych report or that you see, well, wait, they did really poorly in this area, that should be a goal.
Okay. So if I get the evaluation from the school district, it determines, yeah, okay, eligible for services, I still might be interested in an independent evaluation just to help determine what those services are. There's incentives on both ends, right? So the district might be incentivized to give less services, or as a parent, I'm incentivized to give more, maybe even more than I need. I don't know, but
it's that tension. You've got the
Everybody then get an independent evaluation if they can?
You know, I think that independent evaluations are very helpful. I think that some school district psychs, I wouldn't say some, a lot of school district psychs do an amazing job, but our hands are kind of tied when you're in the school district.
Because you were one for a while. So
oh,
you know,
gosh.
This. Yeah.
I've been a psych for 26 years. And so
on the school side, right?
I was on the school side for most of my career. Yeah. So I've always done side I've always done IEs on the side and all that. But, you know, I didn't jump out of the school district till 8 years. I've been a district psych primarily. So I know what it's like to be on that side. And when you're on that side, I don't want to say your hands are tied, but they're kind of tied because you can't say, you know what, this student absolutely has a major dyslexia profile and really needs intensive Orton-Gillingham based, you know, you can't really say that they need Linda Mood Bell or they need Barton or they need any of these things, because if you do, it's kind of like you don't do that in school districts. But if you have a private evaluation, an IEE, I as an IEE assessor come in and my job is to say everything your kid needs. If they need Linda Mood Bell, I say everything your kid needs, and then it's up to your attorney or your advocate or you to fight for it. And so that's the beauty of an IEE, because we're going to tell you everything you need. And it's at least going to be in front of the school district for them to go, okay, there's some holes here. We need to support the student. So,
or in some ways the burden of is maybe on them to show they don't need.
There you go. And that's why an IE is definitely very helpful in that sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'd like to turn now to yourself and maybe some of the influences in your life. You have dyslexia. You have lots of kids, six kids. You have, and some of them have special needs. So how does that color or lens put on what you do?
Wow. It's kind of the whole reason I went into this career in the first place. I mean, I definitely, you know, I grew up thinking I was dumb. Like every kid with dyslexia, every kid with any sort of a learning disability, ADHD, most of the time we all think we're dumb. It's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. And even though I knew deep down I wasn't dumb, like I was really good at certain things, but I thought I was dumb. So because I didn't do well in school, because kids equate, I do well in school, I'm smart. I don't do well in school, I'm dumb.
Sure, that's the measure. And your family reminds you of that, et cetera. Yeah.
It's the way it is. And teachers remind you of that. So I grew up thinking that. And I went all through school. Sometimes I would do better. Sometimes when I would try, I would do better, but I just didn't care. And it was finally, wasn't until really end of high school that they figured out, okay, this is what's going on. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I get to college and I'm like, I can do this. And I was able, because I had that knowledge that I have dyslexia, I was able to advocate for myself. I was able to go to my teachers and say, hey, do you test a lot on the written material, or is it more important for me just to hear and absorb? And they loved the fact that I advocated for myself. So for me, you know, knowing that started me into this career, because I thought, okay, at first I thought I wanted to be like a clinical psychologist. But then I kind of went, well, maybe I'm more geared towards my area of need, which was...
Sure. Well, yeah, the empathy. Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. And so anyway, that started me into this field. And I am so thankful, because it really is my passion. And, you know, getting kids to realize that they have skills to be able to help parents have those light bulb moments where they're like, oh my gosh, that was me as a kid. And, you know, then figuring out how the heck they're going to be able to support their kid. I love nothing more than. And so anyway, that's that. But I also have I have six kids. I passed my lovely learning disability to my second son.
I see.
So that's been fun. And then I have four daughters who are adopted from China, and two of which are special needs as well. So it's definitely, you know, being in the parent side, I always look at families from the parent lens, because I'm a parent and I've had to advocate for my kids. And, you know, whether or not a school district does that, you know, and I put air quotes around that because, you know, you get that all the time. Oh, well, we don't do that. I'm like, yeah, you can do that. So I've been on the other side of the table where I've been representing the school district, but I've also been on the other side of the table where I'm advocating for my child. And I don't care if you don't do that. I care that you do what's best for my kid. And so, you know, you definitely having special needs kids and having them need certain things, I have had to fight for it. And I fought in my own district for it. And that's hard. That's very embarrassing. Sure. Kind of like, oh, but I don't care. It's what my kid needs. And so, you know, as parents, we ferociously will fight for our kids. And I am so I love parents, nothing more than parents that come in and fight for their kids. Do it collaboratively, but fight for your kids, because the district may say they don't do that. They can do a lot of things. So,
yeah, it caused a lot of, I don't know, equity issues or fairness issues, in that if you have a child that needs 10 things, district says, I'll give you 5, but if you advocate, you'll get 9. Yeah. And you didn't, but if you didn't know that, you know, like my wife and I were both teachers, and so we knew how it kind of all worked, the systems worked, and so we had advantages there going in, and I felt like, at least as far as I know, we got what we needed, but...
Good.
But yeah, I worry about the other, I guess, and that's where advocates and people like yourselves can come in and help push the districts a little bit.
And know what is appropriate. Like so, you know, even just like understanding a psych report, you know, parents literally, like, so I could take the most educated person in the world and plop them down in the middle of an IEP and or a psych report presentation, and they're literally going to be looking at you with like deer in the headlight. Like, what are you even talking about? Acronyms. I mean, it's special ed is a whole nother world. You could be as smart as can be, but it's very confusing because you don't know. So we plop parents into, it's just like me going into the middle of a chemistry class. Like, I'm not going to know anything. That's not my thing. But you take these parents and we plop them down in the middle of a meeting where the psychologist is going over this report, talking in standard scores and percentiles and acronyms and all, and we're expecting them to be able to follow. Well, they don't know.
Sure.
And so, you know, I think that's also part of this is going into these meetings educated, knowing a little bit about what's going on. And I will plug later I have a digital course coming out that teaches parents how to interpret a psych report. So when they are sitting there in those, they go into these IEPs, knowing what should be there, knowing what it means, so they can advocate for their kids. So they're not sitting there like deer in the headlights going, I can't sign because I don't know what this even means.
Right.
So yeah, that's a huge piece. Educate yourself before you go in.
And it's tough because in your situation, since you worked as an ed psych, you saw 500 people before you had your kids come in, and then you kind of already knew, oh, I know what normally is going to happen here. You have equal information. So
yeah, most people don't have, unless they've had another student go through it, they don't necessarily know what to expect. And so it's scary. I look at these groups that I'm in on Facebook and stuff, and I am shocked. Parents are like, pray for me. I have a meeting tomorrow. I'm so scared. And I'm like, oh, how sad that the parents are going into these meetings so scared, so nervous. They don't know what's going on. Oh, it breaks my heart. It just breaks my heart.
Yeah, it was a lot on the line. So you know, after working for the district for quite a few years, you decided to go on your own. Tell us about Cornerstone Educational Solutions. Why not just hang with the district?
Ah, man, the district is a different...
And maybe you asked yourself that a lot when you first started the business, but...
Oh, I'll tell you that. Well, you know, back in the day, I've been an ed psych for 26 years. So back in the day of my early years in the district, it was a very different place. And it's changed a lot over the years. There's a lot of people leaving the districts because it's just not as friendly a place as it used to be. And I think I always did side work while I was a psych. I always did IEs. I've always done those kinds of things. I got my licensure like to be able to do private practice back in 2008. So I've been doing it for a really long time. But Cornerstone really came out of like COVID. Like it's COVID started and there were desperation in so many families and we were available. And so we started assessing and we started doing some virtual stuff and we started, you know, supporting families and really just grew like wildfire. And so where you're good and where you are personable and you know your stuff and you're flexible, you do well. And so we, Cornerstone has turned into a wonderful, I love my business. I love all the people that work with me. We have amazing licensed educational psychologists that do phenomenal work. I get the best of the best that work with me. I have one psych that just came from Ohio. She's been in California for about a year now, but her husband's military. And she ran a full, I mean, she's a licensed educational psych. She ran a full autism clinic for like she was the head honcho for like in Ohio for like, I think 12 years or something. Like she's amazing. So, you know, you attract great people. And so that's Cornerstone. And we do private evaluations. We do IEEs. We do just pretty much anything evaluation-based. Dyslexia assessments, ADHD assessments. We'll do lots of autism evals. We just anything psych-related, FBAs, you know, functional behavioral thing assessments, any of those things we do. And so I love what we do because we help families. I love it. So
good. Well, we're coming towards the end here. Before I ask you about contact information, like, where do you see special education going in the next 5 to 10 years? You know, that prediction for the future.
Oh my goodness.
Or maybe where do you hope it to go? But either way,
my hope is that it becomes more of a collaborative process. I think that school districts often become a little bit hesitant when you bring representation in, when you have your advocate, your attorney. And I get it. I've been on the other side of the table. I see that. It does scare people a little bit, but I would love to see it be more of a collaborative process. I would love to see that districts not looking at the bottom line as much and look like the dollar amounts and maybe looking more at, you know, just the needs of students and how do we support them best. And I was in an IEP yesterday where the you know, clearly the student needed to be in residential placement but the district kept, I mean, everything pointed to the fact that they needed to be in residential placement. Mm-hmm. They were doing well there. It was a parentally placed. But yet the district still stood by, nope, they don't need. And I'm like, how could you look at this information? But it's money. So a lot of things come down to money. And so I would love to see that piece to change. But unfortunately with budget, I don't know that that will change, but that would be my desire in the perfect world for it to become more collaborative, for it to be more of a where parents are able to, where they're able to get their kids' needs met without the financial barriers that the district puts on it. So
that was actually an experience I had in the early 2000s. It felt collaborative. It didn't feel hostile, but
yeah, I think it used to be more so.
Yeah.
It used to be, but
there were just less kids in the system, so it was easier.
And that's exactly what I was just going to say. It's as we keep as the, you know, and since COVID with kids that are coming in under the anxiety piece, depression piece due to all the craziness in the world, you know, it's just it's special ed rates used to be 10% per district. And that was like the high end. We're at like the average now is like 15 to 17%.
OK, that's so a huge impact.
It's grown. And that's just in the last 10 years. So it's so I think that's the why districts are kind of tightening the belt a little bit, so to speak. So.
Gotcha. All right. How can as we come to the end here, how can people get in contact with you?
Well, my website is cornerstoneeducationalsolutions.com. There is a page on there that you can, if you want to speak with a psychologist, you can call the number, you can fill out the JOT form on there. Also, we have an events tab. I do webinars every month. Next week, next Monday at 5 p.m., we are doing California time. We are doing college accommodations, how to what you need to be able to support your student by getting college accommodation. And the following week, it's the difference between a school district eval and a private eval. But go under the events tab, sign up for webinars if you want. And there's also a little subscribe to our newsletter. That's where that information on our digital course that is going to be coming out, all of that's on there. So you can just reach out through the website.
Perfect. Thank you. All right, Dr. Christy Bach, thanks so much for your time today.
No problem. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to another edition of Special Education Matters. For more information, including show notes, head to our website, csnlg.com/listen. And if you like what you hear, please consider giving us a review on iTunes. Those reviews bring us lots of happiness. I'm your host, Michael Bull, and we will talk again soon.